The Lunchtime Social Debate brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Okay, it's a Monday. We've got Dame Shirley in, we've got also got Shania in as well, and hopefully we'll have Shakespeare in about 12:30. He normally turns out about 1:45, but today hopefully fingers crossed will be in early, and that'll be Kevin Wilson, who does a great... It's Charles Dickens he does, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
Of course it is.
It's the same thing.
Yes, it's Charles Dickens he dresses up as.
That's
yes.
The one, yeah. But I've got to be honest with you, I'm not really big on any of it. And I noticed it was a weekend of Shakespearean stuff. And you know your Shakespeare, don't you?
A little bit.
She knows more than I do.
Well, yeah. I've got to be honest, Shirley, you knew more than I did. Because you mentioned that you knew three. Because we asked the question, Do you know at least three Shakespeare plays, books, call them what you will? And I could only think of Romeo and Juliet. And I did secretly think here, Hamlet, he didn't write that, but he did.
Yeah.
And he also wrote Much Ado About Nothing as well. So you've got three out of three. Yeah. I'd have just got Romeo and Juliet and that was it. Yeah. I'm not really big on Shakespeare.
No, I'm not at all.
But I have heard of things like that old saying of, compare thee to a summer's day.
Yeah.
That was his, apparently. It was a sonnet. And I've got to be honest with you, I had no idea what a sonnet was. I thought it was a hit that The Verve had in about 1996.
I know it's like a poem, isn't it?
It was, and I read some of it out.
I think it's got like certain syllables to a line.
Yeah.
I think it's like... It might be seven syllables to 14 lines or something. Or
what do you mean,
lines.
Syllables?
Well, it's like, compare thee to a summer's day. So it's each syllable... End of the line, it sort of matches. I can't really remember, so I did this like 6 years ago.
I don't understand.
But it's a particular...
You make it sound like that's such a long time ago. Just imagine what it's like for us.
Wow.
I left school in 1981. That's 35 years ago.
Oh, well.
And Dame
to a young
Shirley,
person,
they didn't have schools when Dame Shirley was supposed to have been there. So, you know, they're all saying, oh, that was such a long time ago.
No, well, yeah, maybe, but... It's still quite a long time ago for me.
So
think of that, I've only had 19 years of life. 6 years is quite a big deal.
Tell us what a syllable is then.
Well, it's like...
How many syllables? That sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, know my name is Shania, which is three syllables. Shania.
Yeah.
Hang on, we've got a blank look. Shirley, two syllables.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. So I'm two syllables.
Yeah, and Ian is just...
One.
That's two, isn't it? Ian.
Ian. That's a difficult one. It
is
could be two.
One?
It could
Surely
be one.
He's only one, isn't
Ian.
But I've got to be honest. I mean, any one of his. I just read out the sonnet of.
How many lines has it got?
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Has it got seven lines?
All right. No, it's slightly more than that.
14 lines.
Hang on, ten
lines.
Just, all right. Hang on
I
a
can't
second.
Remember.
Find it.
Well, we're trying to work it out, aren't we? I thought there were seven lines.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Let's have a little look. Oh, crikey, nothing's easy on this internet, is it? Sonnet 18, often alternatively titled, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day? It's about, hang on, let me see now. Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day? That's line one, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's probably about 14 or 15 lines.
14, right. There we go. Okay. And then there's a certain structure to it, so... Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? That's 10 lines, so maybe the next line is... bit less, and then it'll be back to 10 syllables or something.
And do they rhyme like a poem does, or they don't?
You should read it out.
Got it, Ian.
Well, I did have it, Ian, and I thought, shall I or not?
Do the first few lines, the first few syllables.
See, the first line's the best line. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? You understand that as well, don't you?
Yes.
And you do the rest
That's
of it.
That's 10
I think.
Syllables.
Thou art more lovely and more temperate.
Yeah.
Rough winds, you've been on the beans, do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often in his gold complexion. Dimmed.
You sound like a vicar now.
And every... you would do, wouldn't you? Trying to read all of this.
Yeah.
You just imagine them having conversations. You know, how interesting they must have been back in there. Because you'd have had this. You'd have said this. And then you'd have sort of said, if you were honest enough, you'd have said, what? What did you just say? I didn't understand any of it.
Yeah, but 400 years ago, perhaps that's how they all spoke, is it?
It is.
Well, in that case,
old English.
In that
Middle
case,
English,
then, they must have been far superior brain box wise than us. Because I don't get that at all. You lost me after the first line.
But we would probably lose them now if they were to come back.
Oh, crikey, would we?
You know?
Would we?
Yeah.
Because we tried this with some youngsters earlier on. Just things like, you know, turning the air blue. I had no idea. But then when you think about it, you think, well, there's no common sense to what you've just said. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Turning the air blue, what? You mean I've got to get a paintbrush and paint it blue?
Yeah.
But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou oust, nor shall death brag thou wander in his shade.
He's got the right.
I shouldn't laugh.
When in eternal lines to time thou growl, so long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. There is a bit of a rhyme there on the end.
Yeah,
there's
a little bit, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I think the last two lines might rhyme. What are the last two? Do they last two rhyme?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
That's
out,
it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So is maybe there a time zone over there? So long as men can breathe or eyes can see... Do you know what? If I had a pair of false choppers in now, I would. I'd look like the vicar, wouldn't I?
So I'm long sure you're in the right profession.
And gives this life to thee. See, I could wear one of them collar things.
So this is about... the Bible is written like this, isn't it, some of it?
No, I understood the Bible.
Well, Shania probably knows more than I do about the Bible as well, don't you,
it's
Shania?
It's not written as bad as this. Well, it's not bad, but it's easier to understand because it's translated, isn't it?
Okay, let's try and find another one.
On the deeds of our house we've got, that is written in strange language when you try to read it.
Really?
Mm.
But they're quite old, aren't they? Those deeds?
Yeah.
They would have been like...
100 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When in disgrace and fortune in men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries and look upon myself and curse my fate. Wishing me like... Do you know what? There'll be people out there that will be quoting this and they'll be shouting at the radio saying, you know, come on, you idiot, read it properly. I'm doing it and I haven't even got it in front of me. I can remember it word for word.
Not
wishing me
people.
Like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy contended least. Yet in these thoughts, myself almost despising, haply I think on thee, and then my state, like to the lark at the break of the day arising, from sullen earth sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered, such wealth brings, that when I scorn to change my state and kings... You're right, it rhymes at the end.
But just
comes
just
good at the end.
Do one sentence and let's try and analyse it and see what they're talking about.
When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes.
Right, so when you're in disgrace with a man, when you've done something wrong in a man's eyes.
Oh, do you know what? Why don't we just use the English and then we'll be able to understand it?
Try doing two lines, because sometimes it's sort of... you could think one thing about one line, then it would completely change the next.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state.
So I would cry, so everybody would see me cry, because you've done something wrong in my eyes.
Beweep. I'm losing the will to live. You just...
If you do something wrong, I'm crying. If a man does something wrong, it makes you cry. Yeah.
Yeah,
hard
I think
work,
so.
Isn't it?
Is that
it's
right?
Hard work.
This is what kids do in school for their English literature.
Well, this time last week. This time last week, we did a SATs test last week, live on air.
Wow.
And we got 20. Well, I got 25%.
I got 45%.
Yeah, but you did it about two or three times, didn't you?
This is a maths one. I did that the first time.
What, 45%?
Yeah.
You got 25%.
I got 25%. I was focusing a little bit on the show, but I must admit, I wouldn't have done it much better. I would have probably got about, you know, 35 maybe.
Yeah.
But I got 25%. Point is, I mean, you know, it was hard, wasn't it?
Mm.
I mean, you're not a div by any stretch, are you? You're quite bright.
Yeah.
Because you've got, how many exam results have you got?
I've got 3 A-levels and 13 and a half, 14 GCSEs.
Now, be honest, that was an exam... and it was aimed at 11-year-olds, and you've got all those A-levels, and you're 19 and bright, and you only left school 6 years ago, so it should still be in your brain, whereas ours has been lost a little bit.
Well, yeah.
How well? Do you reckon you did well? Do you reckon that's a good mark? So what would that suggest then? That suggests that that SATs test is massively hard.
One of my grandchildren, she's 11, she's getting ready for her SATs test, and she was doing conjunctions and things like that in English, and I don't know what that means.
What is a conjunction?
It's a conjunction.
Is that like the because, you know, links and
that's right, she explained to me what it was, but I've never heard of that before.
What was it?
As or because.
It's because you link to, so say... Linked. The cat was wet because it was out in the rain. So it links the...
Yeah, that's called a conjunction, apparently. Yeah. And they're only 11 and they're doing that.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
Can't we just talk normal?
Why do they need to know about that? You see, I don't understand it, really.
Well, lots of it's just common sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
By saying what that is and how that links and so on, I don't get all that. I can talk, you know, and my English is fairly good.
Fairly good.
Is that okay? Fairly good. Yeah. I don't know. These sorts of things. I can understand why, and I was just trying to tell you that during a programme, it was at Blackadder. There was a 2000 episode, I think it was the Millennium one, where they built a time machine and they went back in time, and he went back as Blackadder to change something in time, and he met up with William Shakespeare and punched him in the face. And told him that's for every teenager that suffered in school because they had to do Shakespeare.
And I enjoyed Shakespeare.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was quite interesting.
That's how she knows so much, look.
I can't say I know a lot, but I did enjoy the books that I... Well, the plays I did study, yeah. Oh, I enjoyed Romeo and Juliet and Macbeth. And
the reason why we're actually talking about these is because obviously it was what was it four was 400 it 400 years, years.
Yeah.
400 years over the weekend,
yeah.
And there was lots of stuff, and obviously lots of actors, they've all done the Shakespeare thing, and I know there was an array of people that did some stuff. Did you watch any of it?
No,
because it was a live thing, wasn't it?
No,
it was a live thing on there for about 3 or 4 hours.
No.
Now, be honest, would you have had somebody to explain all that to you whilst watching it? If you decided to watch it?
Not really, I don't think.
You would have got it?
Yeah.
You would have understood it?
Well, I don't know, you just read that out. We were trying to analyse it, and it's difficult to understand, isn't it?
So if you had watched the programme, you might have struggled to watch it think, I know what this is all about.
Yeah. But you see, I'm like that with opera. I can't watch opera. You watch opera?
No.
Because I don't know what they're on about.
No.
I just...
I thought opera was that bloke doing Go Compare. I thought that's the only
Go
opera
compare.
I know.
Oh, God, yeah. He's annoying.
My uncle mutes the telly when that advert comes on. That's funny.
Just mutes it.
And then I sing it, so it just annoys him even more.
Let's be honest, it's not the most interesting thing to watch, is it?
No.
Okay, so Shakespeare, you're a fan.
I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan, but... The stuff that I've watched, like the comedies and the...
I didn't get it and didn't understand it at all. So, stories that's in the news this week. I just want to... There's a story about a pound coin, which I'm intrigued. Can you solve the riddle of the missing pound? Latest fiendishly tough brain teaser involving a restaurant bill that doesn't seem to add up. Leaves the internet baffled. Classic riddle centres around three friends splitting a bill for £30 equally. Okay, it seems quite simple on the...
£10 each.
Yeah. Waiter realises the bill was only £25, but can't figure out how to divide £5. So, he keeps £2 and gives each diner back £1, so they've paid £9 each. So, if the diners have paid a total of £27 and the waiter kept £2, where is the other pound?
Yeah, so that would be £27.
So, classic riddle centres around three friends splitting a bill for 30 quid. That's easy enough.
Yeah.
It's £10 each.
Yeah.
Then the waiter realises that bill should have only been £25 but can't figure out how to divide the £5. He keeps £2 for himself and gives each diner back £1, so they only paid £9 each.
Yeah.
If the diners paid a total of £27 and the waiter kept £2, where's the other pound?
I don't know.
That's taken me a while to actually understand what's going on here. Yeah.
But you've got it now.
Yeah, so, I understand. Yeah, so yeah, they should have only been 25.
So they paid 30 in first of all, and then they were given £2 back.
Yeah.
Hang on.
No, the waiter
kept back, and he kept £2. Yeah.
Yeah, they paid 30. That means £9. Yeah. They gave £1 back, £9 each. For three nights of 27.
Yeah.
But then they... Oh.
If the diners paid £27 and the waiter kept £2, where's the other pound?
Like £5.
Okay, they gave £1 back. I don't know.
He realises £25, but can't figure out how to divide the £5.
Have you worked
he
out?
He keeps £2, okay, so that makes it £28. And then he gives each diner back... So that makes... Yeah, but they only paid £9 each. If the diners paid a total of £27... Well, they didn't, did they? What's nine? What's three nines?
Nine.
27. So, and the waiter
they
kept £2
each.
Whereas, do you know what? I'm losing the will to live.
Do you have the answer?
I don't have the answer. Scroll down and see...
I haven't got any paper with me, so I would write it down.
Okay. There's hundreds of people. It's not a riddle. The maths is simply wrong unless 30 minus 2 equals 27 these days. I heard this over 50 years ago. Millers says, my father told us this problem 50 years ago when the lunch cost 30 bob, and it was then called the missing shilling.
Oh,
the
right.
Missing euro probably ended up in Brussels.
Yeah.
More to the point, where is all the missing billions of taxpayers' money wasted by governments and local councils? It's hardly new. One of my student flatmates told me this in about 1995. The waiter was a muppet. He should have waived his tip, donated the £5 to charity, and the three guys would have been none the wiser. Who honestly gives a flying about this? And now we know how the Treasury forecasts are working. What a deceitful waiter. The full story is that they gave each other gave the waiter a £1 tip, so the waiter got away with £5, and they each paid 10.
How did the waiter get £5?
Well,
if they gave him a pound each, of them, that's only £3.
He didn't end up with he only ended up with the three. £2, didn't it? Yeah, three. It's complicated, isn't it?
Well,
riddles are not
three.
Based on lying and idiocy. Add the £2 back on at £27. Maths teaching in this country has gone from bad to worse. Ooh, another chance to look back at all the things that we have broken the internet over the past few weeks. Who can forget Find the Panda? We all marvelled at what colour is the heart, but of course the most baffling question on the internet is, how does the Daily Mail still get called a newspaper when it is just trawling through social networking and competing with papers' websites? I kind of agree with that. Hi, who's this?
Hello, mate, it's Keith, how are you?
Hello, Keith, I'm all right, how are you?
Not too bad, mate, thank you. Do you think the Shakespeare thing got all blown out of proportion?
I don't know, because, I mean, I'm not a Shakespeare fan, but I do respect that other people like it.
Well, you know, a lot of people like a lot of other things, mate, but, you know, why have Shakespeare around down our throat?
Well, that's true.
You know, there's a lot of other people that's done a lot of things in the past for Great Britain, etc., etc., and, you know, will we be celebrating them sort of things, do you reckon, or not?
Well, I think they have. I mean, I know they did a lot of Charles Dickens stuff, didn't they?
Yeah. But it's just all arty-farty stuff, ain't it?
Right, okay.
It is to some people, I think, yeah.
Yeah, when you look at it, you know, did he make any sense in what he was saying?
No, well, we don't think so.
Well, some people say he didn't even write them, didn't he? They reckon he stole them.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. It could be one of those, what you would call it, but, what do they call those things, Ian? Oh, crikey. When you, not propaganda, what do they call it,
Plagiarism.
No. It's when.
No, plagiarism is when you copy somebody else's work, isn't it?
Yeah. Plagiarism. Yeah.
Plagiarism.
I can't think what it's called.
It's plagiarism.
Yeah, there is a word.
They're laughing at me, Keith.
What do they call it when like?
Copying.
Conspiracy theory. That's what I'm looking at.
Eh?
Conspiracy theory.
Oh.
Yeah, this, you know, it could be a conspiracy theory, but you know, how can they prove he actually wrote them?
Oh, do you know what? You're like me. You ask that question. We believe, like that Bible. You know, there's a lot of stuff in that Bible.
Yeah, that's fictitious.
And I think, hang on a minute. Was this supposed to be real or not?
But, mate, you know, where on earth with Jesus have found four people called Matthew, Mark, Luke and John in the Middle East. Is that right?
Don't ruin it for me.
Well, it's true. Or St. Peter and St. Paul. You know, well, Ibn Abdul or St. Abdul or something like that, wasn't it?
Are you not a believer?
A believer in what?
In religion, the Bible.
Religion is one of the worst fables of all time.
Do you know what was really quite apparent here is that, I mean, I can't speak for other people because and I wouldn't want to offend anybody and their religion and their religious beliefs, but I remember sitting in school,
yeah,
and hearing these parables and these stories, and they were, yeah, lovely, wonderful stories. You'd sit there cross-legged, oh, and you, yeah, think, what, yeah, a lovely little thing. Because I always remember the one about, you know, don't fish over there because there ain't no fish over there. Go over there and there's loads of fish. Yeah. And they went over there and they got loads and loads of fish. And I think, how great is that? That's a lovely little story. Age 9, there I was. I believed that and I thought that was lovely. And it, you know, I learnt some valuable lessons from it. But as you get older, you realise that, here, hang on a minute, it's a bit like Roald Dahl, isn't it? It's like Enid Blyton.
It's, yeah, programming.
But I don't want to, you know, I'm with you on that. I feel that there is an element of programming, but yeah, I also believe that, you know,
you've got to have faith in something.
You have, yeah, and I respect other people's faith, and if they want to believe that, and then, you know, that's fine. I'm not going to tell them any different.
You look at the Bible, Ian, and they said there was a mass exodus, right, in the Bible, and everybody became Christians. Well, you could say the same at the moment. There's a mass exodus going on at the moment, and everybody could become Muslims.
Right.
It's the same principle. Did over 2,000 years ago, or just over 2,000 years ago, was there a mass exodus? And everybody sort of took over and said, right, from now on, boom, you're all Christian. It's like they could be doing it now. There's a mass exodus coming out the Middle East and saying, boom, will it happen that you go, boom, you are now a Muslim, or most followers are Muslims.
Right, okay.
Can you see my point?
Yeah, kind of.
Obviously, something big did happen just over 2,000 years ago for everything to get changed, written down into books, and say that you will follow this faith or you will become part of this faith, etc., etc.
I think, you know, it's something that I don't really pay that much attention to, and I don't know too much about. And some people might say, well, that's just ignorant. It's not. It's just that's how I choose my life. I choose to lead my life. I do unto others as they do to me. And that old saying, and that is in the Bible, do unto others as you'd have done to yourself. So there is an element there of belief. There is an element there of you believing something.
Oh, yeah, crikey, you know, it's no matter which part of the world you're in, there is a belief, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Christian, whether you're, how can I put it, it's, you got Hare Krishna, you got all sorts, in you? You got Buddha, Buddhism, Judaism. It's all a following. You've even got, I think now you've got, what's those, Jedi. I think you could be registered as Jedi now, even.
Really?
Yeah, you can put down your religion or faith as Jedi.
See, I must admit, I look at the religions without offending anybody. Is that if you were to pick all the best bits of most of them and make them into one super, super religion, you'd probably end up with something that's perfect or damn near.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're allowed to say damn.
But going back to Shakespeare, mate, it won't happen now. But you know, didn't somebody just come forth and say that Stairway to Heaven was a copy from so and so? Or stolen from so-and-so?
I don't know.
Stairway to Heaven, the song Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I don't know. I
haven't heard that one?
No.
Oh, crikey, it was in the news, mate. Led Zeppelin got took to court or being taken to court over.
Right, okay.
And, because apparently this song, I think it's called Taurus by a band called Spirit, who were on tour with Led Zeppelin back in the 60s, early 70s, actually wrote this song. And when you play the two next to each other, you can tell that it's one is the other, if you know what I mean.
Oh, right.
And like I said, did the same thing happen with Shakespeare? Did he see that, oh, this bloke's wrote some good stuff? Well, you know, I don't think I'm going to pinch that, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know, but...
call it my own. No, nor do I.
Have you got a down on Shakespeare?
No, I'm just fed up with it, mate. You know, like I said, Shakespeare this, Shakespeare that. You know, nobody even speaks Shakespearean now, do they?
No, I know what you mean, and I can, you know, honestly say that I've never really been a fan.
Time, will Kanye West be put down as the next Shakespeare?
I hope not.
Well, you know, did they say that when Shakespeare was about? I hope this guy ain't celebrating in 400 years' time you know, because he'd been such a... I know it's all part of history and it's all part of English learning, etc., etc., but it ain't no good to nobody, is it?
Well, I kind of agree with you, I must admit.
I don't agree with people saying that half the sayings of today were invented by him. I do not believe that whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, one of these sayings, like, what is it? I don't know, I can't even remember what it was now, some of the quotes. But,
compare thee to a summer's day.
Well, fair enough. That could have been written by anybody.
And wherefore art thou?
Romeo.
Yeah, wherefore art thou, Romeo? But no, there's some other sayings, like, don't put all your eggs in one nest or something, or something like that. They're saying, well, that's all Shakespearean.
Yeah.
And things like that. I don't believe that for one bit.
No.
Do you?
No.
No. I know they keep teaching you, you know, oh, this is the great English writer, William Shakespeare. But, you know, there's great writers besides him, mate. You know, that should be recognised.
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, you know...
Whether we
like it or not, whether you like it or not, there's a lot of plays that people go and so. Otherwise, I don't think they wouldn't do it otherwise. It's very well sought after. I don't know whether it's religion that's drummed into them, but I mean, you know, I just think that it's very people sought after it. They have done for years. We're just one of those, well, we're just a couple of people that don't really get it, or don't understand it, or don't want to, or we just don't like it. And, you know, I just think, well, each to their own. If there's an array of people, it's just like styles of music, isn't it? You like your rock music.
Well, I like any music, Ian. I'll sit and listen to classical, or I'll even sit and listen to chant, or I'll sit and listen to choir music, chamber music, any music. Music is music to me, you
know? Sure.
I like it. But there's another classic example that you say then about they class Prince as a modern-day Beethoven. How can you do that?
Right,
okay. The same about ABBA. When they wrote all their songs, they said that ABBA was like a modern-day composer. Their composers was like the classical composers, because each one used a certain series of musical notes, etc. I know this sounds silly, but if you know what I mean, a certain technique. And it's like Queen, one of the greatest bands of all time, you know. People remember and recognise them. As well, as you say, they're playing over there in the next few weeks, I think, the field near you, isn't they?
Well, yeah, all apart from two of them. It won't be Freddie Mercury, obviously, and there's another member of the band. Hey, look, Keith, we've got to go to a quick commercial break.
Is there a member of the band that's not playing them, mate?
I can't remember, but there's another guy. Is it John Deacon?
Oh, what, the bass player?
Yeah, John Deacon. We're going to have to go to a quick commercial break.
Okay, mate, no problem.
If you want to call back in a couple of minutes and have a discussion on Prince, feel free.
No, I've got nothing against Prince. Another great chap died today, didn't he? Or another one, famous singer died.
Who was that?
I can't think of his name.
Oh, Billy Paul.
That's it, Billy Paul.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Me and Mrs. Jones, man, yeah.
We got a thing going on.
Have you?
Yeah.
You and Mrs. D.
That's just a rumour.
Is that right? Okay, mate, I might speak to you in a minute.
Thanks for your call, mate.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Now. Bye. Quick break, we'll come back in two ticks.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Across the Isle of Wight and across the world, this is Vectis Radio.
The Castle in St Helens offers four-star self-catering accommodation in two properties sleeping up to seven people. The properties have secluded grounds with off-road car parking just a few minutes' walk away from the beach and a village green. St Helens is a charming village and the Castle is an excellent base for your Isle of Wight holiday, whether you want to explore all the island has to offer or just get away from it all. We're open all year, dogs are welcome, and short breaks are available. Go to our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk for full details of prices and availability, or call us on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to find out more or to book your ideal getaway.
Beds of Ride, in-town parking in Union Street. Come and give your bedroom an overhaul and treat. No need for sales gimmicks, just value for your pound. With realistic prices all the year round. Includes free delivery if you live in Ride. and only £10 elsewhere, island-wide. Open 10:30 till late, 6 days a week. All that is needed to help you sleep. Beds of Ride, call 565 151. Also find us on Facebook.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. Book now and you'll enjoy a one-hour train ride taking you through the island's unspoiled countryside and woodland. Our new Train Story Discovery Centre at Haven Street provides an opportunity to get close to the carriages and locomotives. And a range of interactive activities can be enjoyed by all ages, telling a fascinating story of railways on the island. Also new for 2016 is the informative and engaging Bird of Prey Centre. For full details, call 01983 882 204 or visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Do you run your own business? Do you have staff? Have you considered how to protect your business if staff decide to leave? This is just one of the things you need to consider as an employer. Real Employment Law Advice can take the worry away and provide you with everything from employment contracts that are tailored to protect your business through to full HR outsourcing advice. Whatever your budget or whatever your needs, Real Employment Law can help. Go to adviceforemployers.co.uk for more information.
Adam Frampton, Plant Hire and Groundwork Contractors, are a family-run, island-based company with over 15 years' experience in the construction industry. They offer a full groundwork package including plant, labour and materials. No job is too big or too small. They offer excavators to mini diggers, as well as jobs like foundations and driveways. For more details, phone 07787 558501 or check them out at www.aframpton.co.uk. Adam Frampton Plant Hire, proud sponsors of the 4Ps project. Check them out at www.aframpton.co.uk.
Having problems with your phone? Or are your electrics on the blink? Maybe you need your appliances or your building wiring tested. Or just a light fitted. West White Audio and Electrical Services can help you. For friendly, reliable service, call Kelvin on 754666 or click westwhiteaudio.co.uk. All island coverage.
Weekend starts early. It's Wham Bam Alama time. Your 2 hour tonic of rock and roll. We're playing rockers, rollers, smoochers, and doo wop in that great era of music. So join me, the old boy, every Friday, 3 to 5pm, for a whole lot of shaking. Only on Vectis Radio. Goodness gracious, Great Walls of Vinyl.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666.
The Lunchtime Social Debate brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
And we're back in the room. It's part two of Monday's Lunchtime Social Debate. We've got Dame Shirley's gone because she's gone off to have some early lunch, which sounds like a great idea. Because we're going to change the subject slightly in a moment and ask about food. Now, we've got Corey who's just joined us. And I don't know whether those headphones are actually plugged in, Corey, are they?
Let me check.
Yeah, they're plugged in.
Oh,
that's lucky, isn't it?
That hurt.
Did it? Yeah, are they plugged in then? Try not to get them too close to the microphone. All right. So when you put them on, is that all right? Can you just pop them on now? You'll be able to hear what's going on.
Am I going
to? Okay. So now we are going to ask you a question, Shania. Could you eat on just a pound a day? A woman is restricted her food budget to find out what life below the poverty line is really like, but gets sick of rice and bread by the end of it. Now this lady is 30. She lives in London, and she's tries the live below the line challenge. She lives on just a pound a day. She eats a lot of rice, tinned tomatoes and bread as well. She misses a variety of fruit and veg, and she's grateful when this challenge ends. So could you live on a pound a day?
I suppose if it is in the case of having to, you would have to, wouldn't you, really? But whether I would now... Well, thinking that this morning I went to a fast food restaurant to get a nice bacon roll... That cost me $2.79, so I've already blown that one. But obviously, if you're living on a pound a day, what could you get? Get all the basic stuff, can't you? And supermarkets, you can get rice. You can get noodles, can't you? Like 13p or something stupid like that.
How aware are you of how much things cost?
I'm probably quite aware because I don't have a lot of money. Like generally, I go for like not the basics, but you get the like one up. So it's still like I'll use the example of Morrison's. You get Morrison's basics, then you get Morrison's like their own like sort of step up brand, and then you obviously get like the say noodles. You can get the super noodle things, can't you? But I don't get those. I'll get the Morrison like the standard supermarket.
Okay.
So packaging. I don't go out of my way to buy the top brands of everything.
So do you actually do any shopping? You obviously do shopping yourself.
Yeah.
So you've got a rough idea of how much things cost.
Quite a lot. I just have a look, and we used to be quite bad, like go on the raw basics sort of stuff, which is really cheap, and then we went a step up because we felt like it. But I'm never going into the shop going, right, I need to get the top brands of all this. Although yesterday I did have to get the Heinz tomato ketchup.
Right, okay. So there's certain things you just want to, you know,
just want to treat yourself a bit, but yeah. I keep an eye on how much I'm spending, sort of thing. But
okay, this lady is doing something similar to what Samuel Grieve did a couple of years ago. Samuel Grieve lived on a pound a day, did this for a whole month, and raised a load of charity money. And he did it just to make a point, you know. And the point is that people are living beneath the breadline, so to speak. And this coincides with another story that I want to talk about in a moment. That's to do with food banks. And you know, this lady that's doing this, after scouring the supermarkets, I decided to take my money to Asda, where I can get most of what I need for the budget, for the money that I've got. The rules say that you can't use any of your store cupboard ingredients, so I really did need to count the pennies here. After toing and froing on strategy, some people buy enough ingredients for one nice meal or three and eat the same for 5 days. For example, I did decide to bulk up on carbs and throw in whatever protein and veg I could hope for a variation. And she's got this stuff here. She's got Asda's Baker's Selection brown sliced bread. So it's 800 grams and it's only 36 pence. So she's gone and she's bought that. I'm guessing she's done like, you know, X amount of days, because obviously most of this adds up to more than a pound. She's got mild Madras curry powder, 60 pence. Asda loose garlic, 25 pence. She's got some salted butter at 76 pence. Some Asda price chopped tomatoes, 31. So I'm guessing she's using this over a period of time here. And you're kind of looking at this and thinking, this is going to all taste the same in a minute if you've just got curry powder and butter to mix in with whatever you've got. So you can kind of understand that at the end of it, you are going to be a bit bored with having the same old food. It goes on to say that she bought six eggs for... How much do you reckon 6 eggs would cost?
80p.
All right. We got Corey in. Corey, just pull yourself up to that microphone, 6 inches away.
Yeah.
How much do you reckon a half a dozen eggs would cost?
60p?
50 pence. You're not bad. You're not bad. Do you any shopping yourself?
With my mother, mainly.
Okay, so you go around, do the shopping with your mother. Let's be honest, that's probably the best person to do the shopping with.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
Okay, so do you have an idea how much, just say, for instance, some chopped tomatoes, a tin of chopped tomatoes is going to be?
Oh, I know this one. I know this one. My mum gets them for pasta at night. Is it 75p?
No, it's 31 pence.
I was going to say 28p, so I'll look close.
And what about some low-fat natural yogurts, 500 grams of?
40p.
45 pence. And one medium-sized potato. So it's probably about the size of my fist, just smaller than my fist.
25p?
It's, 24 pence, very close. And one carrot, just one normal size healthy carrot.
Well, what's a normal size carrot these days?
Judging by this, it's the length of a chicken drumstick.
Right.
All right.
20p, maybe under that.
For a carrot?
I would say 15p.
7 pence.
So then you look at it and think, hang on a minute, I've just seen a picture of all the stuff she's bought. She's got some bread, she's got some eggs, she's got some butter, she's got a load of rice. Where was the rice? I didn't see the rice on this list of things here. Long grain rice. So quite a big packet of rice that's probably, how can I size this? There's the rice there. That's the packet of rice there.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 40 pence for a packet of rice that big. You've got some broccoli as well, and you've got two Asda Butcher's Selection British Chicken Drumsticks at 64 pence. That's quite a bargain, actually, 64 pence for a couple of drumsticks. So there you go. She's got all that, and that is something like five pounds worth of shopping. So there's 5 days worth of shopping. Mm. Does that appeal to you?
Yeah, it's not.
Would you ever take the challenge on that?
I don't know. I probably wouldn't unless I really had to, but hopefully things won't get that bad that I have to use a pound a day. But it's certainly like nice to know that you can actually live on a pound a day.
If you shop around, I mean, if you do shop around, then definitely. It's nice to hear, though, because there are some people who say, oh, you'd never be able to do that, you wouldn't get me on that. There's a picture of day one, the meal. For lunch on the first day, Joanne had a fried egg sandwich. She thought that she might miss ketchup, but finds that it's fine with just butter. For an evening meal, that's her meal there. See that?
Yeah.
So on the plate is one chicken drumstick. See that? One chicken drumstick, three little bits of broccoli, and it looked like a very small piece, or about 7 or 8 small pieces of potato. That is her evening meal. On day two, one of the rules of this challenge is that going around to your mum's for dinner and the like is not really on. You're supposed to rely on your own supplies rather than handouts. However, this morning I have a breakfast meeting that I feel really bad about pulling out of. So Joanna caves in and has a PR breakfast, so it's already supplied. Mm-hmm. And it is a lovely breakfast, probably the meal of the week. Lunchtime, though, she makes herself some tomatoes. There you go, look. That's her next meal. So she's got a nice little bowl of the tin of tomatoes there, and she's got a couple of slices of bread, and there's some butter on it as well. And then dinner is soup made from the stock from the roasted drumsticks, remembering that there are only two, so there's not going to be a massive amount of stock from that, along with tiny amounts of carrot, broccoli, garlic and yoghurt. She uses rice to thicken and so on and so forth. Day three. There you go. I don't know what that is for day three, but it looks revolting, doesn't it? I think we've all realised that maybe living on a pound a day.
It looks a bit like rice and chicken.
It could. Well, I don't think it's chicken, because there wouldn't be enough of that, because she had that on day one, one of the chicken drumsticks. Joanna makes a big bowl of curry using the rest of the potato cooked down with plenty of garlic and curry powder, and that's it. No meat in there, no veg apart from the potatoes. For dinner, she makes a baked egg dish similar to North African shakshuka by cooking half a tin of tomatoes with a few cloves of garlic in a saucepan and with the butter, a pinch of curry powder, and then cracks two egg and spooning some yogurt over that. The dish is they've got some croutons with some fried butter and garlic there. That's that. So you just think this woman has just survived on, apart from that one handout meal, £5, and you're turning your nose up, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're thinking,
horrible.
Doesn't finish there. Day four is pretty good for breakfast. You got a boiled egg and some soldiers.
That's a normal breakfast.
That looks all right. We're happy with that. And then for dinner, she makes chicken curry using about 30 grams of drumstick meat, which she cooked obviously a couple of days before that, a quarter of a tin of tomatoes, a knob of butter, some garlic, some curry powder, and some more of that yogurt. There you go. There's the curry. But this is incredible. All for £5. On day five, there you go. She makes a bit of a stir fry with, guess what, some more curry powder and some more of that horrible rice. But look at her face. That's it. Day five, she's been doing it, and she's got a right cob on now
she looks miserable. She looks miserable.
Do you know what the sad thing is? Is that you know, this, we're talking about food banks over the weekend. We're just going to bring up some figures here, because the food bank obviously is still there. We still use them. As about how many food banks do you reckon there are in the country?
In the country,
yeah. Just move yourself around so you're on microphone. That's lovely.
It's just hard because the headphones a bit, the cord's a bit too short.
Okay.
In the entire country, it's got to be something in the tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah, probably about. I'd say, at a random guess, 30,000.
What is it? How many food banks or people using them?
Oh, I thought you were saying the entire food banks, not the people using them. All.
Yeah, just the amount of food banks.
Maybe into the early thousands.
There's about 150 food banks around the country. There wasn't a couple of years ago, but obviously
things was way more.
Things are changing.
Well, it's the main banks, and obviously distribution, like everywhere on the island, has like a food bank box, don't they, for people to drop off stuff. But they're probably talking about the main, like the one in Cowes we've got. That's probably counting as one food bank.
Okay. Despite a decrease in the demand for Isle of Wight food bank this year, it's still a crisis situation that must not become a new normal. That's according to the Isle of Wight coordinator. National food banks provided more than 1 million emergency supplies last year, according to the latest figures published by the national charity, the Trussell Trust, which show food bank use remains at record levels. The Isle of Wight food bank actually saw a decrease in demand from 4,847 asking for help in 2014 and 15 to 4,338, so it's gone down by about 500. But that might not necessarily mean because you know, people are doing much better. It might mean purely and simply because people are embarrassed to use it because they have, you know, they've got to use it.
Yeah.
Now you've just turned your nose up. Both of you have turned your nose up. And don't get me wrong. I'm feeling exactly the same way. I'm looking at that curry powder and thinking, when's it going to run out? When is that rice going to run out? Because I've gone right off rice, having that every day. That tin of tomatoes has been open in the fridge now for a couple of days, and I'm using a bit here and a bit there. £5 this lady has spent on it, and she's just proving that, yes, it is a bit of a chore, and now after 4 or 5 days, she wants to you know, get off this. She's doing it for a whole 30 days, and certain people are doing this. She's proving a point. You wouldn't want to be paying £1 a day, but in some cases, unfortunately, there are people that are living that way.
Not to be very snobbish, but that food that you're showing she's eating looks like snacks to me. It just looks like snacks.
It does look like snacks.
It doesn't look like a meal, and it's really sad looking at that.
But then how much are we sheltered by, you know, the amount of things, the cost and so on and so forth? I mean, it's not being snobby at all. You're being real, aren't you? You're used to having a meal that size, and you're having a meal, you know, what do you want for your tea? Does your mum say to you, what do you want for tea, Corey? Can I do you something special?
That's what I asked to her. I asked her, what are we having for tea?
What are we having for tea?
Yeah, always.
So did you ever get the choice?
Kind of.
So come on, what do you choose?
Well, I usually, when my dad's home, he wants pie and chips, and I always sort of like, oh, that's such a boring meal. That is so plainly British, isn't it? So plain, bland British meal is, and I always want something different. I want pasta. I want pastas. I want curries. I want all Chinese food. I want something eccentric.
Right.
I don't want these plain British foods.
You would struggle to live on £1 a day.
Yeah, I think I'm getting skinnier just thinking about it.
Mm. It just shows you, like, the food bank and how good it is. So, like, if you're really struggling, you could still go to the food bank. I know it's embarrassing sometimes, but I've been up there and had a tour of the one in Cowes.
Have you?
About a year ago.
Have you ever had to use it?
No.
So lucky enough, you've never had to use it. I do know people that have had to use it, and in this day and age, I think to myself, that's not right.
No, it's not.
And this person was working for a living. She just could not provide.
It's like having families that are both working. You've got both adults working, but still can't afford to eat properly. It's just crazy. But the amount of, like, there's, like, we in our cupboards right now, we've probably got loads of tins that we haven't used just because. I've said, right, we need to sort this out. Anything that's got a decent shelf life on it, we'll just take it to the food bank because there's going to be people there that need it more than what we do.
What a lovely thought, and that's a lovely thing to say, and it's even lovelier to do it. And I say to people, don't ever think that, you know, because the figures are slightly down, it might not necessarily mean that...
But it's still over 4,000 people that need it.
Absolutely, the need is still there. So if you can do what you can, then you should, absolutely. Paul says, it must be difficult to balance your household budget when yours and your partner's cigarettes are £300 a week and the Sky subscription keeps rising. That's without the cost of alcohol and drugs. There can't be a lot left for food. We need more food banks. 7 distribution centres is clearly not enough. I think in there's some sarcasm for sure. But I mean, how much when you look at it now? I'm looking at you guys. How old are you, Corey?
17.
17, and you're 19. You know, when I was your age, obviously things cost a lot less. We didn't have to pay out for internet. Because there wasn't an internet.
But to be fair, back in your day, you probably didn't have as much money as what people do. Back in your day.
Yeah.
You probably didn't have as much money as what we probably do right now. So it's kind of like inflation and that.
I bet you that my wages back in 1982 were probably as good as they are now. And if you talk to a lot of people, yes, certain wages have gone up. But there's an awful lot of people that are still on the same money, and they have been for years and years and years. Mortgages have gone up, the cost of living has gone up, but jobs haven't. The financial side of things hasn't gone up. I guarantee it. Absolutely guarantee it. But my point is this. When you go back to then, there wasn't Sky Sports, there wasn't Sky that you had to pay for, there wasn't internet that you had to pay for. But now it seems that everybody needs to have it. It's a necessity, yeah, supposedly.
You get the problem, like, kids when they go to school is like, oh, I've got the Xbox or PlayStation, whatever. And then their parents feel guilty because their child hasn't got it. And then they get it. And then you're obviously in a much worse financial situation, which obviously gets them in need of the food bank because they can't afford to... They want to keep their kids happy. And... They just, you know, it's either a choice of keeping your kid happy or paying with the games consoles or that, or going having something to eat. And it's just good that the food bank's there, just in case anyone really does need it.
Absolutely, you know, for necessity. Sorry, what were you saying?
It's even worse when people, like I remember going back in middle high school, and basically you would get the, because all the new, you got iPads, you got the Xbox, you got PlayStations. If you even had the one before, like let's say you had iPhone 4, I don't know what iPhones they had back then, but iPhone 4 and iPhone 5 just came out, and you had the iPhone 4, you had to upgrade, otherwise you would get ridiculed by
you'd
the other kids.
You'd get bullied quite badly.
Really? Yeah. Was it that bad?
Yeah, you'd quite easily. If you came out, it didn't bother me because I just kept my phone away from myself. I had a but there I've seen things happen that, you know, the iPhone 5's come out, they all show off their iPhone 5s. And if you've got an iPhone 4, they go, oh, you've got the iPhone 5 as well. No, I've got the 4. Well, then it was like a bit...
I thought it was just a myth.
You didn't publicise the fact that you didn't have the newest iPhone. You know, if you had an iPhone, you'd just say, I've got an iPhone. You wouldn't publicise the fact that you haven't...
But you haven't got an iPhone, have you?
I do now.
You do now?
But as of yesterday, I've got the iPhone SE thing.
Oh, you only got it yesterday?
I only got it yesterday, I didn't care. I had what did I have before? I had Samsung Galaxy Young 2, which is like the really, really old, sort of one of the first smartphones I think Samsung did, but I didn't care.
Fascinating.
I only changed to an Apple because I thought, well, I'll go on contract.
Everyone else has.
Well, no, not that. I would have been quite happy with Android.
We're running out of time. We've got about 30 seconds left. But have you ever been ridiculed for your phone because you haven't got the up-to-date phone? Seriously?
I never really cared about my phone that much. Not really. It was the gaming consoles that
Were you ridiculed?
Mainly not for my...
Oh, we got to talk about this. I can't do it now because we've run right out of town, but come back in Monday after, because it's bank holiday next Monday, and we should chat some more on that.
All right.
Thank you for now, Corey. We just wanted to give you an idea of what it's like in the old lunchtime social debate. Thank you for being there, and also, Shania, thank you for being there too.